This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And good morning, everybody, on this nice-looking Saturday. Hope everybody's in for a good day today. We're going to have plenty of good stuff talking about because football camps are getting underway this week. Already two teams, Baltimore and Chicago, in camp, and they got baseball back now that the All-Star break's over. So let's get started with some headlines. And so the Mariners get a 3-1 victory last night. Really strong performance by Wade LeBlanc. Came in, went 7 1/3 innings, struck out 10, which is remarkable. Even though he doesn't have that powerful arm, he's really looking like a good pitcher. Raises his record to 6-1. Alex Colome came on, got the hold in the 8th inning. Edwin Diaz gets his 37th save. And so they beat the White Sox. So continue the series tonight at 7-10. That's going to be Felix Hernandez on the mound going against the Chicago White Sox. In other good news for the Mariners, Scott Servais was able to get a contract extension. That was officially announced yesterday, so he and Jerry DePoto all taken care of. The Mariners also got two breaks. The Oakland A's ended up losing to San Francisco 5-1, and so now the lead is 4 games over the A's for the wild card. The Angels dropped to 500. You know, they lose 3-1 to the Houston Astros, and so they're now, 10 games back. Mariners right now 20 games over 500. In other news, looks like, there's a chance now that Ohtani is Shohei Ohtani may be able to start to pitch again. And they're like clearing him, despite with all his plywood plates and things like that they put in there for his Tommy John possibilities with his owner. It looks like they're going to try to see if they can pitch him. No timetable when he's going to be out on the mound. In football, Dante Fowler, defensive end for the Jacksonville Jaguars, suspended for 1 game because of a fighting incident that he had. And Darius Stewart, wide receiver for the New York Jets, he gets a 2-game suspension for PEDs. Those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get started with JB in Renton. Hey, JB.
Hey, Mr. Clayton, how are we doing this fine Saturday morning, sir?
Doing well. How about you?
Hey, football season is right around the corner, my friend.
Absolutely. Gotta like that.
Yeah, you gotta love that. Training camp's been popped open already. The Baltimore Ravens are already in camp right now. How do you see the Baltimore Ravens doing with Jackson with the quarterback position, along with Flacco? Do you see them implementing packages for Jackson to get out on the field?
I do. I don't think it's going to be real popular with Joe Flacco. I think it's something that he doesn't like, and I think it could cause some problems. But, I just look at them as being kind of a 500 team that'll probably win 9 or 10. They had a bunch of close losses last year, and so that usually means you'll bounce back. Their schedule isn't all that tough. I think Flacco, really understands that this could be his last year in Baltimore, so he's got to do the best he can. So, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're going to challenge for it. Pittsburgh still has the best team in the division, but they're about a 9-10 win team.
And then also DNP's defensive coordinator retired too also, right?
Well, he retired, but then he ended up going down, I think, to work in Tennessee.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? But still, do you see that Ravens defense with him not being there anymore, being that still at that level that it always plays?
Nah, I don't see it. I mean, Terrell Suggs is now, 35 years old. He's getting older. They're pretty stout on the defensive line. They're okay there in the 3-4, but I don't know how good their linebacking core is. I mean, yeah, Suggs is good. C.J. Mosley is real good. Secondary, Eric Weddle's getting, the thing that I worry most about is that when you have that many guys that are in their 30s, because at least three key guys in their 30s, and also Brandon Carr is getting a little bit older, that starts to slow you down.
Yeah, definitely. Jimmy Smith is coming off a rupture in his Achilles, and he's back doing everything right now. But it remains to be seen once he steps on the field, because I think he's their best cover corner.
Mm-hmm. No question.
That's concerned. Yeah, to get him back is pretty remarkable. I really want to see how he functions, coming back. I mean, 9 months from an Achilles injury like that?
Right.
Yeah, I really want to see how
it has an effect. Now, again, the model for success would be Brent Grimes. Grimes, when he was 29 years old, tore his Achilles, same age as Richard Sherman. And after that, I know he went to at least 2 Pro Bowls, but it does catch up to you because, you lose something when you tear your Achilles like that. And we'll see how it's going to be for Sherman. We'll see how it's going to be for Jimmy Smith. So they're all kind of in that same category. Here they are in their late 20s getting an Achilles injury at a very difficult position to play.
Yeah, Definitely. You know, it was announced Andrew Luck has no limitations. Now, right. That's another intriguing situation right there. Did they do enough to protect Andrew Luck? Because, I mean, that offensive line was atrocious, John.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, this is a guy coming off of shoulder surgeries and all this and that. How do you see that panning out over there with Frank Wright and the boys?
Well, as long as Andrew Luck plays, and I went through this because I saw the USA Today predictions that the Seahawks would be 4-12, and even with Andrew Luck back, the Colts are going to be 2-14, and I just didn't buy it. And so what I did is I researched, when you have a top five or top seven or top eight, you know, because the numbers may vary each year. And right now, I think Russell Wilson's considered top five. You know, Andrew Luck's probably still top 10. And you look back and you see now when Andrew plays, he doesn't do worse than 8-8. And when, you see it for Russell Wilson, I mean, you figure that he should get to 8 wins just because he's a quarterback. So,
you know, predictions, John, when you see those predictions in the newspaper and stuff like that, you got to take that with a grain of salt. You know those guys don't exactly know what they should know. I mean, how can you predict something right now that hasn't even started? You know, but when you look at, when I look at Andrew Luck right now in that division, now, prior to that, he had a little foothold on that division. I think the division then passed him up, Mr. Clayton.
Yeah,
I look at Houston. I see Houston with Deshaun Watson. Now, he's another quarterback coming off a knee injury. How good is he and how his progression is right now? But you also look at Tennessee. Tennessee really made a nice jump last year. I don't know why they fired Mike Mularkey after he made the playoffs and won a playoff game. But Mike Vrabel, is he an upgrade? Maybe, maybe not. And Jacksonville. You know, I know they lost Dante Fowler, but I tell you, that other defensive end that takes his place is not a shabby guy.
Oh, no, the third-round pick, he's great. I mean, he went to the Pro Bowl last year. I mean, he's risen to be one of the better young defensive ends in football, and you put him on the other side of Calais Campbell's. I mean, they have 8 Pro Bowlers on defense. They in Minnesota are the most talented defense in the league, without question.
They've got at least a 5-6 man rotation as far as the pass rushes are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, who are you going to start in the interior? You know, you got Marcell Dareus, you got Malik Jackson, you got the other kid there. You even got Calais Campbell. You can put him at DN or D tackle.
Right.
I mean, they are stacked on that side. But looking at that in that AFC South, the Colts, that's going to be a tough haul for them.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you look at it, they're probably, depending on where Houston goes, I mean, they're still at the bottom of the division. But is it a bottom where they're going to be at 7 or 8 wins? I mean, when you look at that division, because when you watch a rise of a division, so much of it is the quarterbacks. And, you know, Tennessee's now had 2 9-win seasons. Jacksonville is at probably the 11-win level because they won 10 last year. Houston, you know, when Deshaun Watson was out there, I mean, they averaged 34 points a game. When he wasn't out there, they averaged 15. So there's a big jump that goes with those guys. But overall, I think the division's on the rise. It's like the NFC West. It's on the rise. You know, you hit the bottom, and then all of a sudden you draft high and you get quarterbacks. And so you get a Marcus Mariota. You get an Andrew Luck. You get a Deshaun Watson because, you know, Cleveland was dumb enough not to take him and kind of traded him down. And so I look at the division right now. This might be the year it starts to peak because so many things are positive in that regard. Hey, by the way, JB, I was going back and I was talking about this the last couple of days. You know, with all the people making all the bad forecasts on the Seahawks, and it's understandable. I mean, you don't know what they really have as far as other receivers. I mean, after Tyler Lockett, I mean, Ed Dixon, I think, will do a decent job. But there's still some question marks. You have to see where it is. But I do think they're going to run the ball better. But the thing that kind of drives me crazy that nobody seems to be looking at, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, they've lost Richard Sherman. They've lost Cliff Averill. They've lost Cam Chancellor. Well, yeah, they did in the last 7 games of last year. And so do you know where they finished as far as yards allowed in the last 7 games in the National Football League last year? Second best.
You know, the thing about it is when you look at the Seahawks, yeah, you lost some of those players, but you have to replace them with younger players. And that's just the attrition of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But with the key component that is still there is the quarterback. Russell Wilson is still there.
Right.
You know, and you got a decent running game. If you can run the ball, control the line of scrimmage, that's football. You see, when you, everybody loves to look at the outside, you know, and like I said, don't get me wrong, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, those boys, those are nice players. But if you can control that line of scrimmage, which they did successfully in running the ball and the ability to stop the run and rush the passer, that solves a lot of your problems right there. And Pete Carroll is that type of a coach that I think he has the ability to motivate guys, get young guys going, buying into his program. I don't see them having just four wins, Mr. Clayton. That's why I tell you, when I look at these predictions, I tend to take a step back and just gloss over them and pass by. Mm-hmm. It's not even a conversation worth that, because I still look at it from this perspective. You still have Russell Wilson on the field. And you have a good running game, and if everything works out with the offensive line, you can play some ball control football until those young guys come up to spec on your defensive side of the ball.
Right. No, I agree.
That's what you do. Yeah, so, you know, when I look at that, and I look at the NFC West, this is the division we look at, I think Arizona took a major step back if you really want to ask that.
Oh,
Jimmy
agreed.
Garoppolo, you're gonna have another year with Jimmy Garoppolo. Defensive coordinator is going to be able to have get a scheme for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the biggest animal in the room is the Rams.
Right, no question. I mean that team's loaded. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's the modern version of the dream team. Because you look and you add three Pro Bowlers on defense to a team that has an offense that scored over 30 points a game. We're 29.9. So, and you know, they added Brandon Cooks. I mean, I like him so much better than Sammy Watkins.
Definitely. Now, the thing I say about the Rams that I think one Achilles heel might be about the Rams. Now, you look at Michael Brockers, you look at Big Sue, and you look at Aaron Donald. Who's their pass rusher?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's they have a problem at the linebacker spot, that's for sure. I mean, you know, they sent Robert Quinn over to Miami in a trade. Ogletree, their best linebacker, he's now at the New York Giants. And so they're going to, well, the pass rush comes from Aaron Donald in the middle.
If you look at it, that's where it's coming from. They got a 6th-round pick they picked up, that he's pretty speed, a good speed rusher. I mean, are you depending on that guy? He might turn out to be lightning in a bottle. That's what you're looking at on that team. I'm interested to see. They might be good at stopping the run, but Aaron Donald is their best pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking him to get double-digit sacks.
No, that's the challenge they have. But again, I think they're fine. I mean, but here's where the problem is. You know, one, if they don't get Aaron Donald done, then I think there's going to be resentment in the locker room. Because you think about this, they trade for Brandon Cooks, and he's the one that gets the contract extension. You know, LaMarcus Joyner, the safety, you know, he's playing on the franchise tag. Aqib Talib's in the last year of his contract. I mean, they're not going to be able to keep as much of these players as long as other teams will.
No, this is a one-year thing. In my opinion, I think this is a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a one-year deal with that team. Now, don't get me wrong. They got young players. They're going to be a viable team. But as far as what they got right now, this is a one-year deal. You got to pay all these guys. You just paid Brandon Cooks a nice deal right there. You got Aaron Donald sitting there. You got Marcus Peters. I mean, that is just a one-year kick. But I tell you right now, all you got to do is equate back to when Pete Carroll first got here. There was not a lot of high expectations for his team when he first got here.
No.
Right?
No. You're right.
And what did he do? You see, you got the coach and the quarterback. You can't underestimate them. You just can't.
No. And
that's why
it's like the idea of a four-win season, I think, is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, Mr. Clayton. Throw it out the door. No, it's no way they're going to just win four games.
Mm-hmm.
No way. No. Richard Sherman was, like you said, Richard Sherman was hurt last year. Cam Chancellor was hurt last year. Cliff Avril was hurt last year. And that defense still performed.
Absolutely. You know, hey, JB, got to run.
All right, Mr. Clayton, next Saturday, my friend.
All right, thank you much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Raider Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hi, John. How are you?
Doing great.
Oh, good. Yeah, football season's right around the corner.
It is here. John. No question.
I'm excited, John. I'm sure you are, too. But before we get to football, John, hey, a big shout-out to Scott Service. That was fantastic that the Mariners organization extended him, and well-deserved, and just a great guy. I mean, he's he's really improved upon the culture of that organization. You could see it in the clubhouse with his, you know, with his nonverbal communication with the players. You know, you just see his expressions. I mean, he's not a very talkative guy. He's pretty much matter of fact to the point, but he really can relate to his players, and I think it's fantastic to see that.
Oh, I agree. And what I like is that, you know, you can see, well, first, I think he doesn't get enough credit for the staff that he has, you know, with Mel Stottlemyre Jr. and Edgar Martinez, right. And he's got a great Manny Acta. I mean, that's a great right. staff. And that really
sure,
means a lot. And I think that you can see the one stat that I know they put out yesterday was his record in two-run games. You already know he's like 26, 27 wins in one-run games. But what is he, like 20 games, 21 games over 500 in two-run games, which is it just shows you, I mean, he knows how to manage. I mean, he knows how, and you know, with and working with the friendship that he has and the background that he has with Jerry DePoto, they're on the same page. I mean, you know, what you can see is that I love the fact that he says, hey, why are you so good in the latter innings? Well, we do pretty well against relief pitching.
There you go. And then another shout-out to Gene Segura. He did such a great job at the All-Star game. And frankly, I think he was robbed by not getting the MVP. I don't know who votes on that or what. Maybe you know, but I just thought that was really, I mean,
Well, it's understandable. I think you give it, I mean, because you give it to the guy that hits the game-winning home run. I mean, that's
yeah,
it was a key moment. But did you hear the story about what, you know, Nelson Cruz? Nelson Cruz held back a couple of spots that he was supposed to bat just to give Gene Segura the chance to go out there and hit a home run.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I mean, how's that for a teammate?
Yeah, total. I mean, you know, he's such a great leader, Nelson Cruz. It's such a great thing to see him, you know, on the diamond as well as all those other great guys on the field. It's mm-hmm. really fantastic. I mean, I'm just so proud to be a Mariners fan. It's really come together for the team. John, the Raiders have, they're not going to extend the contract of Greg Papa and Tom Flores. It's really a shame, John.
It is, and I think what it shows, and we're going to talk to Bill Williamson, who's down there with a Raider blog that is just so good that we'll give you what's going on with that. But, yeah, that is sad because Greg Papa, to me, was the voice of the Raiders. But what it tells me is Mark Davis is now starting to think about the next phase, thinking about
right.
the move because, you know, where does Brent Musburger work? He works in Vegas. And, of course,
right.
he's got the gambling site and the gambling radio show in Vegas.
Yeah.
So you can see that, and, you know, it's sad because Greg, I mean, I've been on his show many times. He's been on my show. He's always been the voice of the Raiders, and now that's changed.
Yeah, he just has such passion and such fervor. And, you know, his predecessor, Bill King, was a hard one to replace. But, you know, the late, great Al Davis did a great job by hiring Papa. And, you know, Papa was more or less the conscience and so knowledgeable about the franchise and was very good and very close to Al. I think something that's going on there is that he wasn't necessarily as close to Mark Davis as he was to Al, and then you know, and there was talk about them hiring Mike Shanahan, and Papa comes out and says, "Well, look, if you hire him, I'm not going to do the radio broadcast anymore," because he knew what Al thought about Mike
right.
Shanahan, and I thought that was interesting. And you know, Mark wants to put his more of his thumbprint on the team, and it's going to be his team. But I am really ashamed that Brent Musburger. I love the guy; he's had his day, though, John. I mean, for heaven's sakes, he's a true professional, but really. Brent Musburger
at 79.
Think of some other bridge characteristic of a personality to be there as doing play by play.
At 79 years old, I mean that's remarkable.
I just don't understand that whatsoever. Okay, well, moving forward, you know, John Gruden went to Ricky's, which is in San Leandro. That's like the epicenter for all kinds of Raider fandom in the East Bay, and he basically bought everyone a dinner and drinks. And a ticket to get in, and there are about 500 people there. And she was there for 3 hours yesterday, just because they want to see Chucky. It was
mm-hmm,
pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great to see that. I don't, you know, the Raider fan base, you know, they've had to put up with a lot, John. They've had to put up with a crappy stadium, for lack of a better way to put it. They've had to put up with, you know, they haven't had such great play unless, you know, you talk about 2 years ago when they actually did go to the playoffs, but they didn't do it with Carr. I mean, they've had to endure a lot, and now they're dealing with this transition. So it's nice to see that, you know, that Gruden has come in there and really bolstered the ranks and let the folks down there feel as good as they possibly can feel about the pending move of the Raiders.
Right. No, but it is fun to see, and I think the brand name itself is great. I mean, football is better when the Raiders are winning. No question
about
it.
Yeah, real quick, John, real quick. The school, the program that you have your podcast with Peter King.
Yeah.
Great to hear Peter King talk to you about scheduling. Also, how he had the thrill of being with John Madden on the bus in one of his first big reporting things. And I thought that was great to hear that, John.
Yeah, Raider Jim, thank you for the phone call. And, of course, that's Schooled with the Professor Peter King. You can catch it on anywhere where you can get a podcast. Let's go to Bob in Burbank. Hey, Bob.
Hey, John.
Yes, how are you?
Good. Hey, you've been talking about the last seven games of last year for the Seahawks, and it sounded pretty good, so I wanted to dig a little deeper on that, so I kind of took a look at those last seven games.
Mm-hmm. And again, look at the opponents they played. Now, again, they gave up 23 points. A lot of that was the Ram game, but the numbers were what I did with that is that, they were down. I mean, this team is down, five Pro Bowlers on defense? But and then six if Earl Thomas isn't back. But it's really down if you compare those numbers. Really, that was Sheldon Richardson, Michael Bennett, Michael Wilhoit, and so it's really not down as much. And so I think there's a base there that kind of says this drop off is not going to be as bad as you think.
Well, like I said, I looked at those numbers. They gave up 207 yards per game passing. Mm-hmm. Which, if you carry that over all of last season, would have ranked sixth for pass defense. But if you look at the rushing,
that's right.
During those seven games, they gave up 135 yards a game.
130.7. Yes.
Dead last in the league. That would have been dead last in the league.
Not really. It's at the bottom.
Yeah, I looked it up, John. I looked it up.
Yeah, but remember what I did is I broke it down because it's the seven games, and some teams have six.
Well, no, but I'm looking at the all of 2017, the average for the entire season. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if the Seahawks gave up 135 yards a game for an entire season, they would be dead last in run defense.
Right.
Last year they would have been. So that put their total. That would put their total defense at 328.7 yards, which would put them at 16th. So I'm not sure. I think you're just talking about the pass defense when you're talking about those last seven games, but. One of the reasons the pass yards weren't high for the defense is because everyone was just running all over them.
Well, also, remember, you have to incorporate the opponents that they have. I mean, they played Philadelphia.
Drew Stanton, C.J. Beathard, Goff. Goff only threw for 116 yards because the Rams were up.
They ran the ball
so
well.
Against.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but that's why.
They took on Carson Wentz.
Yeah, and
they played good teams.
He passed for 348 yards. And your guy, Blake Bortles, who can't hit the broadside of a barn, threw for 268 against them.
Right.
The bottom line is their total net was 328.7 yards per game, and that would put them right smack in the middle of the league, not near the top. So, and 24.7 points per game they gave up. That was 29th last year.
They gave up. It was 23.9 is what they gave up.
It'd be in the bottom five or six of the league, though. So I don't know if you're looking at that and thinking that's. And you take that defense.
No, what I look at is that's the base, right? That's the base it's coming off of. I mean, where everybody's thinking it's. Total drain of the whole talent base. You can see that there's seven starters out there that come back, and they do have a chance to get better. I mean, the cornerbacks are the same. Bradley McDougal is the same. Two of the linebackers are the same, and they'll try to get better on defense and with the run stopping. So again, I'm not saying this is not the one that's going to be developing into the 2013 defense. I'm not conceding. I'll agree with that. But it's a defense. If it's in the middle of the pack. Would you say it's in the middle of the pack?
Well, according to these stats.
Yeah, okay. But if it's in the middle of the pack, it's better than what everybody else is saying because it's not like at the total bottom.
But a few weeks ago, right after the draft, you were saying Seattle's an 8-win team. Mm-hmm. Really, nothing has changed, but now you're saying 9-10. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I got to go to. I got to go to break here, but I'd say 9 wins, and if they get the running game going, it can go to 10. That's where it maxes out.
If there's a lot of ifs on this team.
Okay, Bob. Thank you for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN 206-421 ESPN. We'll talk Raider football with Bill Williams next. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Talk some Raider football. Joining us right now is Bill Williamson. And before we get into the Raiders, Bill, tell them where you can get all the writing from the Raiders, because it's good stuff. I mean, really, you know, you, Steve Corcoran, really pounding out great stuff. Where can everybody get that?
Oh, hey, thanks, John. Well, you can get RaidersSnakePit.com, and it's a subscription site. And we just pound the Raiders news and analysis and podcasts and everything Raiders 365. And it's an homage to Ken Stabler, so Raiders Snake Pit. And a part of the proceeds go to the XOXO Stabler Foundation, run by Ken's oldest daughter, Kendra. So it's a cool thing. And Steve's covered the Raiders for 20 years. I've covered the Raiders for 10. And we're having a lot of fun. So thanks for asking about that.
Okay, so now yesterday, I guess, was a big day because a little Raiders celebration to kind of get everybody ready for the season. Kind of talk about that.
Yeah, you know, the Raiders are a really unique franchise. I don't know if they have the most fans, but they have among the most loyal fans. You know, we're talking about the website. I went to a Raider fan rally in Phoenix, Arizona in April, and there's 2,000 people there. And I don't know if a Cardinal fan rally in April would get one person in Oakland. You know what I mean? These fans are just deep, and John Gruden, you know, the favorite son of the Raider Nation, threw a party for them at the a very popular Raider fan hangout near the Oakland Coliseum, and it was just it was bedlam. It was a huge scene, you know, this huge pre-camp tailgate party, if you will, and John Gruden paid for it out of his pocket, 500 people, and they just have a real special relationship. And, you know, and there's extra emotions in play here, John, because this team is leaving Oakland in 2 years at the most. They're not even signed up to play in Oakland in 2019. They may be facing a season where they just have seven more home games because, of course, they play a game against Seattle in London. So the clock is ticking for the Raiders in Oakland, and John Gruden did a nice thing for them yesterday.
Of course, I guess you can see that Mark Davis is starting to move ahead by replacing the very popular Greg Papa and Tom Flores and bringing in Brett Musburger. What was that all about?
You know, I mean, the thing that rung out to me on that initially was, man, you know, this team is moving to Vegas and they're starting to make moves that way. And, you know, Brett Musburger lives in Vegas. Greg Papa is, you know, voice of the Oakland Raiders, and they're moving on. It's just a reminder to fans that, hey, this thing is happening. And Greg Papa is very, very popular within the fan base, and it's not being played. It's not getting great reviews. But, you know, on the flip side, you know, if you're going to replace a local team legend, getting a guy like Brett Musburger is kind of cool, too. So it's just, you know, just another interesting move. I tweeted that, you know, John Gruden adds yet another veteran in Brett Musburger at 79 years old. You know, Gruden's been signing so many 30-plus players this year, so I kind of had a little fun with that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I love the idea that John Gruden's back coaching. I think it's great for the game. It's great for the Raiders. He'll do a great job. But what I wonder about, you know, John Gruden, the coach, is also John Gruden, the subtle general manager. And that's where I kind of wonder if he's making the right moves. I mean, what is it? They have 15 players, 14 players that are in their 30s, and he's brought in 11.
Yeah, and the Raiders have had the busiest offseason in the NFL by far. I mean, complete turnover. And it's definitely the John Gruden way. A lot of his assistant coaches, guys like Tom Cable, guys like Rich Spicella, the special teams coach, they have a lot of pull. A lot of the players brought in have history of John Gruden's assistant coaches. This is 100% John Gruden show. And that's what he was promised, and that's what he's doing. And, you know, it's very interesting. What it reminds me of a little bit, I covered the Broncos at the Denver Post for 4 years from 2004 to 2008. And it reminds me of those years of this Mike Shanahan days where he had total control and he made a lot of questionable moves, a lot of veterans, a lot of over the hill guys, a lot of character flaw guys. John Gruden brought a lot of character question guys in, you know, whether it's Martavis Bryant, whether it's Arden Key, whether it's Maurice Hurst for medical reasons, whether it was Daryl Worley a week after he got cut by the Eagles for getting arrested and cut by the same day by the Eagles. A lot of moves. And that's what happens when a coach has power. GM is in place to kind of keep the coaches in check. Well, coaches just want to win. They just want players. And there's nobody to keep John Gruden in check. And he's doing what he wants. So whether it works or not, it's going to be solely on his shoulders.
No question. I mean, how good does this team look from what you've seen?
I'm not overly impressed, John. I think there's some holes. I think the defense has big questions after Khalil Mack. And unless he gets a contract in the next few days, Khalil Mack will probably not be at the start of training camp. He stayed away the whole offseason. I don't know if I'm a believer in Jordy Nelson. I don't know if I'm a believer in Marshawn Lynch at the age of 32. I do think Derek Carr is going to bounce back. You know, I think it's an 8-8 team, really.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's interesting because that's where when you have coaches making the decision on talent, a lot of times that can go wrong because you rely on your assistant coaches. And, you know, Reggie McKenzie, I thought, you know, after a little bit of a slow start, really did a nice job of hitting on some draft choices that started to make the team good. I mean, the one draft with, Derek Carr and the Gabe Jackson and that, I mean, really started putting things back over the top, you know, Khalil Mack, but then it starts to fall a little bit.
Yeah, and he struggled with drafts the last couple of years. This team has a lot of young players that really have to, put up or shut up, if you will. Carl Joseph, Obi Melfalo, guys that really have to show they're worth the draft pick. So I think for the Raiders to make a playoff run, a lot of things have to go in their favor, maybe more than some other teams. That's why I'm kind of thinking middle of the road here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and which I can understand that. Tell what's the story with David Carr or Derek Carr? Because, you know, Derek has the great season when they win 12 games, gets hurt, gets banged up last year, and he looked like the injury really affected him both emotionally and the way he played.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I'm spending too much time making excuses for that injury. It's easy for me to say. 2016, he was an MVP candidate. No doubt about it. He was tremendous in his third NFL season. Breaks the leg in week 16 and the Raiders season is over. Last year, he plays well for the first two games. Does not play well in Washington week three at all. Starts off shaky against Denver in week four and then breaks the small bone in his back in that game. They said it was going to be a 2 to 6 week injury. He only missed one game, came back, wasn't good. Well, go 6 weeks, that's week 10. He played another six games and was not good at all. And I don't know if it was nerves, but it wasn't the physical health. And, you know, I mean, this guy missed one game. So if it was really bothering him, they should have kept him out more. But, you know, towards the end of the season, he was regressing. I mean, there was points where I thought he looked like a backup playing, and I know he's better than that. So that's John Gruden's biggest task is getting Derek Carr back on track. And, you know, through the offseason, all indications are that relationship's going well.
You know, what type of things have you seen John put in offensively?
You know, I mean, he's just going back to his old days. I mean, you know, he made that crack at the combine. I want to go back to 1998 and all the analytical heads cringed. You know, John Gruden has a big personality and he likes to joke. But I think that beyond the joke, he is going to be the same coach he was. You're going to see, you know, a lot of double tight ends. You're going to see a lot of fullbacks. You're going to see a lot of let's get the running game to really kickstart the passing game. And then there's going to be a vertical aspect as well. And that's why they brought in Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, which, of course, the rumblings still don't know for sure if he's going to get suspended or not. I know that you alluded to that. It sounds like it still might not be a suspension, but still there's concern.
Yeah, you know, I got some really, quote, inside information on it yesterday. And I wanted to give an update. And it's strange because really, there's no clarity, but basically, what I wrote is that Martavis Bryant thinks he's in good shape as far as the suspension goes, but he doesn't know. The story by the Las Vegas Review-Journal, which said that the Raiders fear that he could be suspended, that came out 37 days ago. And Martavis Bryant has not heard a thing in those 37 days. So he assumes that he's in good shape, but he doesn't know. So the Raiders and Martavis Bryant think he'll be, you know, clear of the season, but nobody said anything, whether you're good or bad. So it's just kind of a strange situation.
Okay, and Bill, how does everybody get the snake pit again to be able to read what you, Cork, and everybody else is doing?
You go to RaidersSnakePit.com and you sign up, and it's $59.99 a year or $7.99 a month. And again, we just flood Raider coverage, and there's no ads and no pop-ups, and it's just, you know, organic Raider coverage. So we think it's a good deal.
Hey, Bill Williamson, thanks for joining us.
All right, John, thank you.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Hitting the phones at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Chris in Everett. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing great.
Hey, nice weather today. So anyways, how's your wife doing, by the way?
Better. I mean, still trying to, you know, gain her strength and all that stuff. So we're just trying to take good care of her. Spirits are great.
Oh, that's good. What do you think about the Hawks this coming up season? I know you said like a while ago was they might get like for the wild card. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what, I got something strange. I mean, well, not strange. I got this feeling about the Rams this year that they might get that first round bye.
Oh, I think you can make the argument, because it still comes down to Jared Goff. I mean, it's still a quarterback-driven league, and, you know, can Goff win two playoff games? But no, I think when you start to do the seeding, I mean, you have probably Philadelphia, Minnesota, Green Bay, and the Rams all kind of fighting for that top spot. But when you look at the Rams, I mean, they just have the feel of an 11-12 win team.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And then about the Hawks, what do you think their record might be to get in the wild card? I know they're not going to get that first round bye. No, forget that. You think they might get the wild card this coming up season?
I think they can challenge for it, yeah. I mean, because nine wins isn't going to get it done, but I do think that they can get to 10 if they get the running game going. See, because I don't think their defense is going to be as bad as people think. You know, they had the one game bad against the Rams, and that kind of threw everything off. But again, yard-wise, I mean, that was the second fewest yards given up in the league. They had problems on the run, no question, but they face good running teams, and they need to get better than that. And so what I look at is that, okay, you know what you don't have is, because again, everybody thinks the drop-off is Richard Sherman, which is, I mean, listen, they're not as talented. There's no question. But the last seven games, they were without Sherman, Averill, and Chancellor. And so now their numbers were middle of the pack. They're not bad. Okay, so now you see what you can add with some younger guys. You know, Deion Jordan's got to step up. They got Mingo now replacing Will Hoyt at the strong side linebacker position. Same starting cornerbacks. You know, they'll have to, you know, play better. But the fact that, you know, they've now been together now for seven games going into another 16, you'd think they can improve. And if they improved roster-wise, again, it's not going to be as talented roster-wise, but if, you know, the addition of Tom Johnson and Shamir, all those different guys can work out, then it can be a respectable defense. Not a great defense, but a respectable defense. And the running game will make them a better defense.
Right. Remember the old school coaches? Remember, first they were with Pete Carroll since day one, and then they went somewhere else, other teams. Now they come back, the same guys. I think these same guys, I know the former linebacker, what's his name? Now he's with us back in, I know he is defense for the Seahawks. What's his name? Ken Norton Jr.?
Yeah, Ken Norton Jr., right.
So, anyways, I know he's a former 49ers and player.
But see, what you can see if you look at the history of Pete Carroll's defensive coordinators, they kind of focus a little bit more on the positions that they coach. So, and again, it's a strength. For example, Dan Quinn did a great job with the defensive line. I mean, he was there coaching them every day, and, you know, they used their hands well, and he was so good at getting, you know, a four-man rush. and getting pressure on a four-man rush, and certainly they had the talent to be able to do that. Then you see Chris Richard. I mean, he was a secondary guy, and so he was able to, you know, more better feature stuff in the secondary with the way he coaches. Ken Norton Jr. is a linebacker's coach, and what I would anticipate is they're going to get more blitzing in there. If you really look at the blitzing numbers, you know, they were one of the most, even though they didn't, they were one of the fewest as far as blitzes, but they had better success than most blitzing, and so getting to the quarterback. And so what I anticipate is you're going to see five sacks from Bobby Wagner. You're going to see maybe three or four sacks from Justin Coleman, who had two last year. And so they can make up the difference. And again, where the strength of the team back in 2013 was, you know, their ability to rush four and get to the quarterback, well, they also had 10 sacks on blitzes that year. And so that's where I think they're going to make up the difference.
Yeah. You know what, John? You know, back in 2013, I guess, which teams were going to the Super Bowl, like during the Super Bowl year, that year, and I picked, like, during the preseason, I picked, like, Denver and Seattle. And boom, I was just right on the back of it. So it's all good. But anyways, and hey, college football now with the Huskies. Yeah. Are they favored to go to the national championship?
Some are favoring them, yeah. I know that you know, Phil Steele has them as the number four in the country, and so he thinks they're going to be in the Final Four. So, you know, Auburn game's going to play a huge part of that. If they can win the Auburn game, everything should be great. That's going to be the big challenge, though, but they're a good football team. Hey, Chris, thank you for the phone call.
No worries.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Ed in Shoreline. Hey, Ed.
Morning, JC. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Doing great. Hey, best of wishes to your wife.
Well,
hope she's doing well.
Yeah. Yes.
So, John, you going to the London game?
I am going to the London game, yes. Haven't booked a trip yet. In fact, I might just do it tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight or tomorrow?
My friend Daniel and I spent 30 minutes online with 14 computers and 16 browsers and didn't get any tickets. I'm exaggerating just a bit, but any ideas where to go from here?
So as far as tickets?
Yeah.
Just hope, I don't know, Venue Kings or whatever, StubHub or something like that. You would have to think it may be a hard sell, but again, just keep working on it.
Yeah, the tickets we were going for were €299.
Uh-huh.
I expect them to come on the secondary market for three times that much.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, because again, you realize it's Raider fans, and the Raider fans are avid. The Seahawks fans travel well. So yeah, I can see where the tickets could go pretty fast, but you know, something usually breaks.
On the subject of who's going to catch the ball for the Seahawks this year, other than Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett, how's Brandon Marshall doing?
We don't know yet. I mean, so far we've not seen him on the practice field, but you know, I would anticipate that he should be there because he's had enough time to recover from the ankle injury, the toe injury. You know, so I can't judge his speed. You know, he's 34 years old. You know, borderline Hall of Fame wide receiver. I think he can do well. But you know, when you start to, I've been working on these numbers really for the last 4 or 5 days. You know, wide receivers once they get past 31 tend to drop off unless they're near borderline Hall of Famers, and so. You know, Marshall had a good season at the age of 32. 33, of course, he had the injuries, and now he's kind of clean up. What I look at is I think he can be out there maybe catching, you know, 45 passes somewhere in that neighborhood if he's healthy. Now, again, he may not make the team, but I think that he can be out there, and he's that big target that you want. That's what Pete Carroll likes, the big target, and I think he can be a big factor in the red zone, filling in a little bit of the void for Jimmy Graham.
Right on. And I see Rashard Penny wins this award of the most outstanding athlete in the Mountain West Conference.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising. Nobody could stop him.
How big of a deal is that?
But the question is, can he beat out Chris Carson? You know they're going to groom him. You know they're going to give him as much playing time as they possibly can. But Carson right now looks real good. I think the situation looks good at running back. It did last year, except when they got to the regular season, and they were terrible. I mean, it was just awful. The blocking was bad. But I think the blocking will be better. The running will be better. And that could be the key to the whole season. Hey, Ed, thank you for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Dave Grosby coming up next. The John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN.